All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House. We are in a series, The Benefits of Salvation, and our message today is Heaven, Looking Beyond the Horizon. It is July 31, 2022, and I am Dr. Mary Craig. So let's open with prayer. Holy Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for his life of radical obedience, perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying the penalty for sin, to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by his reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit. We ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. And we especially today ask that the Holy Spirit come to comfort us with what heaven is like according to your word. Not that we have everything we would like to know, but we have enough. We have what you want us to know. And so we ask that you, your Holy Spirit, reveal that to us. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire, O God, to glorify you. We come before you in humility, on bended knee, with our heads bowed. We pray that we would be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give you the glory. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So do you have questions about heaven? Do you wonder how your choices now affect eternity? Do you see the great adventure that awaits every believer? Do you live with that blessed hope of eternal life? Are we down here wasting our lives because of poor choices? Or are we living in anticipation of the greatest adventure we've ever had with the Holy Spirit, of life with Christ, and believers of all time, and of life before our Holy Father in a place where creation is restored and we live in the fullness of all God has for us in Jesus? Are we there yet? The Word of God helps us realize our destiny, understand life beyond the grave, grasp redemption's restoration, anticipate resurrection, celebrate eternal relationship with the Godhead and prepare us to reign with Christ in his kingdom. The Bible speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. Now, as I mentioned last week, theologians debate whether the new heaven and new earth are new in kind or new in quality or both. We will focus on the redeemed in Christ, those whom Christ has redeemed by his blood. In contrast, the wicked or unrighteous ones or workers of iniquity or unredeemed, you know, or the reprobate who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Matthew 25:46, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus said that. We have gone through a brief history of what happens to the believers in Christ. Today, we will take it from a slightly different angle. The true believer is in this already and not yet paradox or position. He is raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenlies. He lives in the present reality of having a righteousness in Christ that he did not earn or deserve, but which is imputed to him. That means laid to his account, laid, the record of our life is laid to the account of Jesus, and Jesus, the record of his life, his righteousness, is laid to our account. It's kind of a bookkeeping thing. And then we have the fact that God's new creation has already started with the death and resurrection of Christ. Now, we went over this briefly, but a little more on it. Genesis 1 and 2 give us the past. Here we see original humanity and original earth as God delegated reign to innocent mankind and gives mankind dominion with intended stewardship of earth. God institutes the covenant of creation, also known as the covenant of Adam, also known as the covenant of works. God in heaven visits earth, and there is no curse, only universal perfection and blessing, no shame. Okay, the covenant, this covenant is made with Adam. He's called the first Adam. He's the first, you know. The fruit of the tree of life in Eden can be eaten, but not the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now just think of it. Adam is given a mandate. He has a choice. He's a free agent. And he only has one thing not to do. Just don't do this. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There is a river of life, and before redemption, sin is unknown. There is no death at this point. Mankind is created from the earth. The first Adam reigns and is under this creation mandate. The serpent Satan is also on earth. God walks with humans in the garden, and God's glory is evident to all with unhindered individual worship. God's goodness is known, and both creation and humanity are perfect. God looked around and it was all good. Mankind is to name, tend, and rule animals. People are to tend the garden, having dominion as stewards or trustees. They're stewards, like a trustee of something. Something that you don't yourself own. It belongs to someone else. God owns everything. So, and we're just trustees and stewards. Not to exercise domination, but to care for and not abuse this high privilege. The ground is fertile and vegetation is lush with abundant food and water. There is restfulness and satisfaction in labor and innocence and closeness to God. We call it paradise, with humanity in an ideal place, but able to sin or not to sin. Naked in innocence, there is one marriage, perfect, and the beginning of human culture, wherein humanity learns and creates impurity, rules, and is to expand paradise. God reveals his plan for humanity and earth. Man is created in the image of God. God, as creator, is owed obedience with submission to God's will. We owe God obedience on the basis of the creator-creature relationship alone. Okay, so Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the last line was from Genesis 2, verse 15. Now, Adam, what happened, though, was Adam listened to another word, another wisdom, rejecting Christ, the wisdom of God, and plunging humanity into the estate of sin and misery. That's what we call it, the estate of sin and misery. Okay. Now, Genesis 3 through Revelation chapter 20 speaks of a present reality showing fallen humanity. Some believe and are transformed. Fallen earth, nevertheless, shows glimmers of the original state. Reigning falls into dispute with God. Satan and fallen humanity. Mankind's dominion becomes thwarted, frustrated, and twisted. God is in heaven, separate yet active. He indwells believers by his Holy Spirit. This is the estate of sin and misery, sin and the curse, the withdrawal of blessing, or blessing selectively given, yet common grace pervades. There is shame. Humanity is cut off from the tree of life in paradise. Rivers and nature give glimmers of past and future, and the unfolding drama of redemption begins. Sin corrupts, its power and penalty assaulted, defeated by Christ. Death permeates all. Mankind, people die. They return to the earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Yet new life is given to some as having been chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. The first Adam falls. We call it the fall. The fall. And that's when Adam disobeyed. The fruit looked really good, right? And that we have to remember that about temptation. It looks really, really good. Yes. Like we're really going to benefit from it. And is God really good? Did God say? See, God determines what is good and what is evil. Mankind reigns corruptly with glimpses of good. The last Adam comes. The last Adam is Jesus Christ, God incarnate. The serpent, Satan, is judged, but is still present on earth. Humans are cut off from God, and God's glory is obscured, seen only in glimpses. Worship is hampered by sin, and God's goodness is known by some, doubted by others. Creation and humanity are tainted by sin. Animals and mankind hurt each other. The ground is cursed, and vegetation diseased. Hunger and thirst, toil for food and water, restlessness and toil in labor become the norm. Sin pervades with its alienation from God, though some are declared righteous in Christ by imputation. Paradise is lost but sought. Glimmers are seen, foretaste. Mankind is banished, struggles, and wanders in fallen places. So many Christians call it wilderness wanderings. Wandering around. All mankind is enslaved to sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Some are empowered not to sin, clothed due to unrighteousness with the righteousness of Christ. Many marriages result with marriage flawed by sin, blame, and manipulation. Culture becomes contaminated in its advancement. Mankind learns, creates in impurity. Think of Cain and Babel. Mankind is banished from paradise, but longs for a return to paradise. There is a longing. There is a void that only God can fill. Only God can fill that void. It's an emptiness that only God can fill. The real God, the one true and living God. God's plan seems delayed, but though the vision tarry, wait for it will not tarry. The justified in Christ will live by faith. The future state is seen in Revelation chapter 21 and 22 and a few other places. There is a new heaven and a new earth. We see a resurrected new humanity in Christ and a new earth with God delegating reign to those justified in Christ by faith in Him, faith in Jesus. Mankind's dominion is fulfilled by the righteous ones in Christ. Redeemed stewardship of earth results. God lives forever with mankind on the new earth, and this is covenant wrapped up to its goal with God speaking, "And I will be your God, and you will be my son." That's how it ends. My son, huios, huios, and it's singular. Why is it Sambius adding this? Why is this singular? Because believers are the body of Christ. That's why it is singular. Singular son. We are in Christ. He is the beloved, and we are in him. The covenant of grace is consummated. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He that has the Son, S-O-N, has life. He that does not have the Son has not life. And I will say it is just that cut and dried. It is just like that. A person either has Jesus Christ and has life or not. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And God is a judge. God has left all judgment to the Son. And the idea is that Jesus Christ will judge what is living and what is dead. Jesus lives in the power of an endless life. And so even when the believer in Christ, if we're in Christ and we die, we don't really, we transition into a different place. You see, who can deliver us from the body of this death, the body? And Paul says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, Romans 7 and 8. And so, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that's, we have life. I am the resurrection and the life. The one that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And the one that lives and believes in me shall never die. And Jesus said, do you believe this? So a true believer doesn't really die. I like this so much when I heard it. You make a transition, or some say you change neighborhoods. You're living in a new place, but you're alive. Okay. For those in Christ, redeemed and resurrected, there is no more curse, thus greater blessing, perfection, and unending grace. There is no shame or potential for shame. The tree of life in New Jerusalem allows mankind to eat again forever. The river of life flows from the throne. Sin and death have been forever removed because they've been defeated by Jesus Christ. True believers are delivered from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. The second man, which is a name for Jesus Christ, the second man, reigns as God-man. That means fully God, fully man. With the new humanity in Christ as reigns with the new humanity in Christ as co-heirs with Christ. So every true believer, all the people who are in Christ, reign with Christ, and we are co-heirs with Christ. That's truly amazing, because Jesus shares that. He didn't have to. We become co-heirs to the inheritance. The serpent Satan is thrown into the eternal lake of fire. And right now he didn't want to hear that, but we're going to carry on. Oh boy. God dwells face to face with those in Christ, and his glory is forever manifested with unhindered corporate worship, and his goodness forever celebrated. Amen. Creation and humanity are restored to perfection, and animals and humanity live in complete harmony. The lion lies down with the lamb. The ground is fertile. Vegetation thrives with abundance of food and water. There is an enhanced restfulness and joy in labor. Oh, yes, work, because we know that there's work, because God desires good works. And Jesus said, my Father is working, and I am working, even unto this present moment. So we can expect that in heaven, we're not, no one's going to be a slacker. And it's not going to be boring, because God is the creator and he is highly creative. All you have to do is go out and look at nature. Go out and look at something and look at it in detail. And you can see how creative God is. He really is. And he's done this with me. I tell my little story. It's the same little story. Because when it happened, it surprised me so much. And, excuse me, and that was this. I had this, I think it was a little rose bushes, okay? And on the leaf, on some of the leaves that were starting to be, they were perfectly round circles. They were all this, on the different leaves, they were the same size, perfectly round. And some little bug, I don't know if it was an aphid or whatever they call it, but anyway, really tiny, you couldn't really see them. Or at least I couldn't, had made this thing around. And I'm going, oh, my roses, what? My roses. I was working so hard to grow these roses, right, to have roses. And instead, I clearly heard, how do you like my bug art? I just started laughing. I started laughing right outside all by myself. I'm sure anybody who heard that or saw that was like, who is that crazy woman? Because I just started laughing, bug art. Because it was like God was looking at it and he was, oh, look, these guys are doing such a good job. They are so good. They're working away perfectly round. And bug art. And it was artistic, honestly. They were working very hard. It was very artistic. It really was when you started looking at it as artwork. Anyway, so God has a sense of humor, folks. He really does. But that's a little story. I tell it over and over because it still makes me laugh. Okay, So there's abundance and enhanced restfulness and joy and labor, complete righteousness in Christ and paradise regained and magnified. In this glorified state, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb are restored to an ideal place, unable to sin, permanently empowered, clothed with righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. There is one marriage, Christ and the church, or the bride, perfect and unhindered. Culture is purified. God's will is obeyed, free of sin. Humanity learns, creates in wisdom and purity with unlimited, free access to the one true and living God. God's plan for the new humanity in Christ and for a new earth is realized. Now, let's listen to a few Bible verses. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have Steve read this and see if he can see it.
For behold, I created new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. That's from Isaiah 65:17. And I will select some of them as priests and Levites, says the Lord, for just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will endure before me, declares the Lord, so your descendants and your name will endure. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come to worship before me, says the Lord. but according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's from 2 Peter. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, from Revelation. And all of it,
the Ellicott thing.
Ellicott comments, the hope of the renewal and restitution of all things has been long cherished. Earlier prophets had sanctioned the hope. Isaiah had told of new heavens and new earth. Ezekiel had closed his prophecy with a splendid vision of a renewed land of promise. Christ himself had spoken of the era which he inaugurated as the regeneration. His followers soon caught the truth that the outcome of the gospel age would be the realization of all those marvelous visions with which prophets had sustained the fainting hopes of the people of God. The hope was not to be forever receding as new height after height was surmounted. It will not always be said, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. That's from Ezekiel. The fulfillment may seem to tarry. The unbelieving might doubt or scoff, but those who felt that the gospel was a power of spiritual regeneration, making all things new, learned to look forward to the widest and fullest restoration, and to expect new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The characteristic word which runs throughout the description is the word, quote, new. Endicott's commentary on Revelation 21:1.
Okay, thank you. God is into redemption, reconciliation, restoration, recovery, return, renewal, regeneration, resurrection, reclamation. Now, these are things we pray for now. I'll tell a little healing story here. Maybe I've got about 2 minutes here. But I had a very serious thing with my middle ear. And they thought they were going to have to do middle ear surgery. And but when I prayed, the Lord just gave me, said to pray, repair, restore, renew, regenerate. That was it, four words. Repair, restore, renew, regenerate. And so it was obvious that I had the condition. I went back to the doctor because, you know, they've been set up here. And when he checked everything out, he said, I don't believe this. He said, there is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. I don't have to do middle ear surgery. And it was concerning also about, like, my eardrum or something like that. He said, it's all healed. And I told him I prayed. And so, and he wanted to know what I prayed. And I told him it was just four words I was to bring before the Lord. Repair, restore, renew, regenerate. And he wrote it down. He was all excited about it. And I don't know, but that's what I heard. So God is into redemption, reconciliation, restoration, recovery, return, renewal, regeneration, and he's into resurrection. It's not just resurrection, you know, when we physically die and we're going to be resurrected. Every time we die to something, whatever it is, die to some sin, you know, and that's it for that. And it's like a death. But God raises us up. He raises us up to life. And it's a process. It's not just by and by in the sky when we die or whatever. And if we walk in resurrection power now. All right, anyway. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." That's Psalm 24, 1. God has prior claim to his creation and does not relinquish that claim to contenders. God's original plan will be fulfilled. Acts 3:21 speaks of the restoration of all things. Jesus spoke of the renewal of all things in Matthew 19:27 and 28. There's a word there, and it means new genesis, or coming back from death to life. Creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of God, those who understand God's original purpose and who will fill the earth with his glory. All competitors to God's dominion, authority, and power will be destroyed. In 1 Corinthians 15, 22-25, "The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it." It's Isaiah 40, verse 5. See also Psalm, well, there's a whole string. It'll be in the written version of this. "The redeemed are more than restored to an original state of being living souls, Adam before the fall." See, what God is doing for those in Christ is way beyond what the first Adam was in the garden. The first Adam was a creature. God is the creator. But Jesus Christ is the God-man, fully God, fully man. We are in Christ. And he is the head of a new, Jesus Christ is the federal head of a new humanity, a whole new humanity. That's why he's called the last Adam and the second man. And it's more than just being restored to what was going on before the fall. The Redeemer in Christ, conformed to the image of Christ, who is a prototype of a new humanity. The last Adam, or second man, the man from heaven, is more than the first Adam. Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords, as I said, is fully God and fully man, a divine person with a divine nature who took on a human nature in a human body. We are human persons with a human nature who partake of the divine nature. 1 Corinthians 15. Christ is the first fruits of the redeemed. God does not merely return humanity to the original plan, but it is his plan from before the foundation of the world to glorify Christ and to display his glory in the redeemed from every tribe and tongue and nation. One new man. The redeemed are spiritual beings, heavenly, without corruption, immortal through Christ's immortality, living in vital spiritual union within, with and in Christ. The redeemed not only have dominion over earthly things, but also over spiritual beings. They will judge angels. The spirit world will be subject to them. Christ is God's crowning glory, and we in Christ fill the earth with his glory. John 17. That is what is beyond the horizon of our lives today. And let's pray. Father God, we come to you and we thank you that we are not as those who have no hope. We have a blessed hope, and that hope is in Christ. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that people will repent. They will repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that they will, that you will grant this repentance unto life, that you will grant the belief, the faith, to believe in Christ, and that they will hear your call, Lord, to life, eternal life in Christ. We ask you that today because there is a glorious future ahead for those who are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now if you'd stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.